listening to the Keith Blakemore Noble Radio Show, helping you transform your deepest fears into your greatest strengths. Here's your host, Keith Blakemore Noble.
Hello, hello, welcome back. Welcome to another episode. Today, we have got a really special guest. Today, my guest is author Jenny Leggett. Now, she writes under the pen name of J.T. Scott. Now, Jenny is the author of the highly acclaimed Sammy Rambles series of fantasy adventure books for children and for adults who like castles and dragons. Now, who doesn't like castles and dragons, right? You can see why I'm excited to have Jenny here as my guest. Jenny's created this entire world. She's the author of all of this. And we're going to explore how it all came into being and how on earth you get the confidence to do something like that. That's my guest, Jenny. Hey, Jenny, how are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you. And thank you so much for having me here.
Oh, it's my absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for taking time out to join us. Now, we've heard the bio, but who is Jenny? Who is the lady behind it all?
Well, I suppose I call myself an author, a copywriter. I think you were right when you said that I'm just somebody who likes castles and dragons and sharing adventures and stories.
Nice. Beautiful. So what we're exploring today is, and this is going to be something which will resonate with a lot of people. I don't mean the castles and dragons. Obviously, that resonates with lots of people. But it's how it came into being, because you started off, you had this story or elements of the story in your mind. How does one go from having a story to writing it down and then having the confidence to go, you know what, this is good. Let's get this published. Let's tell other people about it. Because I know a lot of people would give up at many, many steps of the way. So let's explore the whole journey and what it took to go through it. I guess let's go back to the very beginning. Where did the initial idea come from?
If we go right back to the very beginning, I have to say it was probably a very bad day at the office that finally prompted me to pick up that pen, paper, and just start scribbling, really. I think it was probably my early 20s when I actually started writing Sammy Rambles. And I say it did come from quite a bad time in my life when I was feeling bad that friends were perhaps, they all had boyfriends, they were getting married, they had children, they were on holiday, they had nice cars, they were buying houses. And I was stuck in a bit of a rut, working quite long hours and doing a job that wasn't particularly where I wanted to be. What I wanted to be doing. And so for me, just picking up that pen and paper, it was escapism. It was transporting myself into a whole new dimension, a whole new world, and I could fill with things that I wanted to look at. Perhaps even going back and rewriting a little bit of my history, changing things through the books, right. Just having a lot of fun and escapism from the day-to-day stuff.
Got it. Okay, that makes a lot of sense. So it was really escapism for you, your way of pulling yourself out of the dull, dreary life that was going on at the time, and just having a bit of excitement. As you say, escapism, and even rewriting some of the past. Nice. So what were some of the inspirations behind the whole thing?
Again, it would be perhaps childhood experiences. We've been around a lot of National Trust houses, a lot of English heritage castles. And I guess one of my sort of aspirations and dreams is to have a wonderful home like that, somewhere that's safe and secure, somewhere that's happy, that you can invite people around, maybe somewhere a bit posh with a nice big garden. But just literally walking through those ancient places, you can imagine another layer on top of that with the castles and the dragons, and what if there was a dragon in the garden, how would that feel like? And it was just jotting down little ideas, one idea at a time.
Got it. Nice. So you found this form of escapism and creating these stories based upon experiences from from growing up and those magnificent places you were visiting. I guess lots of us have kind of had these daydreams and created these lovely escapism dreams for ourselves. What made you think, you know what, this needs to get out there? What was the catalyst that made you think, you know what, we should publish this, or there should be something more to this?
It was probably another bad day, to be honest. It's all that phrase that something good comes out of something bad. So when I was younger, I used to write these stories down for my Lego characters and Playmobil characters. And the mum would say, I'll put your toys back in the box. And so I didn't want to lose that story. So I'd jot them down. And then as I got older, I suppose I was able to write longer stories. But when you come back to the confidence, I'm not sure I had an awful lot of confidence. I think it took quite a big push to actually get the books written down. And then I wanted to type them up just in case there was a problem. What if someone stole my notebook, or I left it behind, or it got in a fire or something? So I typed it all up. And then it was sort of the next part of the journey. What do I do with it next? Because as well as going around these wash houses and playing with Playmobil, I suppose I was visiting bookshops with parents. And I thought it would be nice to have a story on the bookshelf at WH Smith's or Waterstones. And so how does that happen? How do you get to that stage? And that's what I had to do quite a lot of research into. It's all very well writing a story. It's all very well thinking about it. But to actually get on and do it, it's hard work.
Right. So it was inspiration that came from you, from within. You decided, you know, yes, what? I've written these stories. I've typed them up to save them. I would love to have one. I'd love to have a book on the WH Smith's bookshelf. Got it. So it came from within. So how did you go about figuring out what the next steps were?
It was, again, thanks to the internet, perhaps doing a little bit of research. How do other authors do it? Maybe asking a few friends. And no one seemed to really have an answer. There's no magic bullet. There's no template as such that I could find at the time. So I sent it off to a few agents, and I got a few rejection letters, which made me feel like I'd failed. Like I'd failed myself. I'd failed the characters in the book. I really wanted to get Sammy's story out there, because it'd taken a long time to write it. I felt it was good enough to be on the bookshelves. And then if you wind the clock forward a little while, I tried again. And then people did sort of start to think, oh, yeah, well, we'll have that. But they wanted maybe £5,000 to do the publishing for me.
Yeah.
And I couldn't afford that. Didn't have the resources behind it to actually go for that. And so... Right. That was, again, digging deep, finding another way around to self-publish the books, which is the route that I've gone down.
I get you. Now, we'll come on to that in just a sec. I just want to rewind just a moment. Something you touched on there. So you sent the manuscript to a few agents, and you got the any author who's ever gone through this route will have boxes full of them. You got the inevitable rejection letters. And obviously, we tell ourselves rejection is never personal. It's not a personal rejection of us. But particularly
personal.
Particularly with this sort of story where it is basically a part of us in there, and it's being rejected. How do you cope with that? How do you stop that getting you down and going, oh, well, it's all worthless? What keeps you going, I guess, is what I'm asking. How, even though, as you say, it does feel personal, even though we know really it's not, but it feels personal, how do you keep going through all of that?
I have to say, it must have been quite a few tears and quite a lot of chocolate. I think that's my sort of...
liking the chocolate.
My go-to. That's my go-to. So when it's bad, actually, because when something good happens, I'll celebrate with chocolates, and when something bad happens, I'll celebrate with chocolates. So in my brain, I'm working out which is which. But yeah, I think it is, again, about picking yourself back up One of the quotes that I do like is that if you fall down, you get back up, and you keep getting back up until you've got it. So that was it, just to sort of try again tomorrow. That's another one that I quite like, that to actually get somewhere, you have to persevere with it. It will be difficult, but if you really, really want it, it will come. It will happen.
I guess that's part of the key, if you really, really want it. Because if you really do want something, you will do whatever it takes to get there. Was there ever a time where you thought, you know what, I give up, they're not good enough, I'm just going to do something else instead? Or did you always have that inner self-belief that, you know what, darn it, these aren't good enough, I have got to find a way?
I think, with the stories, I've always believed in the stories. The big goal is to get it made into a film, as you know from the conversations we've had in the past. And that's been my driver. And when these friends were getting married, when they were having their houses and their cars and their holidays, and when I was feeling really, really bad, I did have Sammy Rambles to look back on. And I do remember a few really dark days when I picked up a giant kitchen knife one day and that was going to be the end of everything. And so there was a little voice, and it was Sammy Rambles, and he said, keep going, keep. And that, just having Sammy Rambles there, I think probably did stop me from doing something really stupid.
Yeah. Wow. Awesome. So in a way, this character that you gave life to helped keep you going, basically.
Exactly. Cool. Yeah. It was going to be my ticket out of that bad situation that I got myself into. So I would say to anybody that there is a way through it all, because one of the themes in Sammy Rambles is that self-belief and that empowerment, and that working together with your friends, the magic, and it's been quite an emotional rollercoaster, really.
I can imagine. So you got those rejection letters, you kind of waited for a while, you then tried again, and you got some of them saying, yeah, we can do it, but you're going to have to pay us £5,000 to publish it for you. Obviously, it was out. So what you said you went down the self-publishing routes.
That's right, a little bit about that. Well, coming back from feeling like I'd failed, and I'd failed Sammy Rambles, and you know how important, just from what I was saying just now, that to make Sammy Rambles a success, I felt like I owed him, even though he's a character in the book. I felt like I had to try harder, I had to dig deeper, I had to do more research. Obviously, time has moved on, technology has moved on, and then just to be able to find those tools where, I wouldn't say it was perfect, but the first time I used the self-publishing tools, I was actually quite pleased that I managed to get a book in my hands. Since then, when we've got forward a couple more years, I think the polished product that you see today has moved on from there. So it's a constant evaluator. Is it all looking good? What can be better? So it's an ongoing process. What extra can I do to give back to Sammy Rambles, who's helped me through some quite difficult times, really?
Nice. I like that. And something that's come through a few times there was that it was about Sammy. It was never about you. It was about Sammy. I know often people talk about it, when you want to have motivation, find the bigger picture. It's not about what you want. It's why you want it. How does it help your family or others? What's the bigger picture? What I love about this is that really shines through here. It wasn't about, I've got some stories, I want to get them published. It was, Sammy needs his story published. Sammy needs to be out there. I have got to find a way to make this work for Sammy. And would I be right in saying that that's kind of what really helped get you through, even in the days where it seemed impossible? You're not doing this for you, you're doing this for Sammy.
And possibly by having that external, even if it's a fictional character, having that to sort of project all those emotions on, and to project all that achievement onto, that I've got to do this. It's not just doing it for myself. I mean, I've had some amazing feedback about the books, and I know that they've helped other children and adults as well who they thought they were just reading a book about castles and dragons, but through the layers of the story, there's a lot of other stuff going on there.
Yeah, beautiful, beautiful. And we'll touch on that a little bit more in a moment, because I want to explore that, because, yeah, the books, they work on multiple levels, which is
that's it, yeah.
A really neat thing.
Really neat thing. Kind of a conduit, I guess.
Yeah. So you got you created your first book. You went down the self-published. That's not easy to say. You went down the self-publishing route. You got the book out there. You come to the launch. Now, I know from speaking with other authors, I know from personal experience as well, you come to launch your book. My word, that can get nerve-wracking, because it's one thing to have written it all, and so it's now quite another. You're now basically saying, hey, world, here's a great book. Take it. And you've then got that, oh, what are people going to think? What if they say nasty things about it? How did you find the whole process of launching and anticipating the feedback, and then the feedback that you got from people? How did you find all that? What kept you going through all of that?
I think I avoided it altogether. I've never actually had a launch party. So my big launch was literally publishing the book quietly one evening, waiting, I don't know, about a week for the proof to come through, then worrying about it a bit more, then thinking it through, then chatting with a few friends who just said, well, go for it. What's the worst that can happen? So I published it. And then I think I took a few books with me down to a pub quiz. And I showed people, and they said, oh, yeah, we'll have one of those. And I said, well, can you help cover my costs? And so they were more than happy to buy it and pay for it. And I suppose, to be fair, I'm not the first person to ever published a book. It might be in my world, but they were used to people turning up with books that have been created. And so as time has gone on, I suppose I've had more confidence in it. And with the new books with Bumper and Friends, I don't think I've ever actually had like a launch party as such, but I probably should have one. But as to what other people are thinking about it, of course I'm worried. My stomach's in knots. I'm thinking, you know, there's the pressure. It's all very well me sitting there writing it, but now people are going to be reading it, and not just reading it in the UK, they'll be reading it all over the world. What will they think? But I've been fortunate to have some wonderful feedback from the stories. So, yeah, all's going well so far. But I like your idea. I should definitely have a launch party for my next book.
Absolutely. I want to come along, because any excuse for a party, launch parties can be fantastic. I have to ask, have you had any negative feedback from it, or has it all been justified positive feedback?
There's one bit of a... I don't know, it's somebody who obviously hasn't read the book, but they've left me a one-star review on Amazon. I haven't got many reviews on Amazon. Most of it's been through tabletop sales and school visits. School visits have all been wonderful. I've done loads of those, and to be able to go and tell the story, and then the children sort of write their own sort of take on the books. But I have, at the tabletop sales, it's interesting because I don't know whether people realise that I've written the books that I'm selling on the table in front of them, or whether they don't care what they're saying, because there have been people who say, oh, I don't believe in dragons, or I only read autobiographies, or all sorts of random things that I never even imagined them saying. But there's been no one who's sort of come along and said, oh, your book's rubbish, or maybe they say it behind my back, I don't know. But to my face, everyone has been so nice and so supportive.
And that is another key thing, that when we do this, when we step up, when we put ourselves out there and put our creation out there, people do tend to be a lot more welcoming and warm and friendly to it than we might perhaps fear. I mean, you said you had your stomach in knots and all that sort of thing, and then the responses you get are overwhelmingly positive and good. And yeah, you got a one-star review on Amazon, but hey, any book that's worth its salt gets at least one-star review. And in your case, it's from someone who clearly never even read it. So,
well, I did a bit of research on who they were, and I noticed that they'd reviewed other products with similar disdain, I suppose. So I can imagine that they probably haven't read the book and they haven't used the hair straighteners they commented on or the Hoover that they commented on. So it's just someone who's perhaps got a little black cloud over their head, which is fair enough.
I look at it this way. If they're only happy when they're writing one-star reviews, you've brought them a little bit of happiness with the book by giving them an ability to write a one-star review.
Bringing that's certainly one way to look at it.
Yeah. Awesome. So we've spoken about Sammy Rambles, about the book, about how it all, the books. How many books are there in the series so far?
There are 5 Sammy Rambles books, and that's it for Sammy Rambles so far, because his enemy is the shape. And there are 5 letters in the word shape. There are 5 problems to solve and 5 books in the series. And at the moment, I'm working on the Bumper and Friends books, which are illustrated books for younger children. So I've got 7 of those, and I'm trying to do a couple of those this year. So I've got 2 more lined up that I'm hoping will be finished, 1 in the summer and 1 ready for Christmas.
Wow, that's certainly keeping you nice and busy. Certainly keeping you busy. So is that the end of the line for Sammy, or are you sort of never say never? Who knows what will come later on? Or
I think if there's demand for it, then I can certainly progress the story. I've got ideas. I've had loads of people wanting more from Sammy Rambles.
Yeah.
For me, as I was saying, it was a chapter in my life that I really was in a dark place writing them. And Sammy was my ticket out of that. And I kind of feel like I've come through the worst of it, hopefully. I'm sure there'll be more that will come later on, but I feel better equipped to deal with it. And a lot of it I've got to thank for you as well, because all the conversations that we've had about getting the confidence and about just going for things, and really the work that you do has certainly contributed significantly to helping me.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate that. It's been my absolute pleasure, because if I can help in some way to enable Sammy to get out there and to help countless other people, it's all so worthwhile. So we've heard about Sammy and so on. Can you encapsulate in a nutshell, in a minute or so, what is it all about? We've got dragons, we've got castles. What is it all about? Without giving anything away, obviously, what's it all about?
It's a coming of age story. So you've got Sammy Rambles, who's being bullied at school, which sadly so many people are, and his parents step in and they help him move on from that situation. What they don't realise is they've sent him to the dragon school, that he gets his own dragon egg on his first day, that it's up to him then to make his own friends. And then as the author, I've thrown in a few problems. So there's an enemy, the shape, who want to destroy all the dragons. And so that's when Sammy has to learn his skills to make his friends, to believe in himself, that he can fix things, that he can save the dragon world. So that's in essence of what happens through the series. There's lots of things going on along the way. Mm-hmm. Lots of subplots and sub-stories.
Of course. And that, as you say, it works at multiple levels as well. For the younger reader, and also for their parents who might be reading it. Talking of younger readers, who's that you've got with you there?
This is my daughter. She's Frankie. So she sometimes joins in on the Zooms with me.
Brilliant.
She's done very well so far.
She has indeed. I've loved having our chat. It's been great to hear just the journey that you and Sammy have both gone on to get here. I know people are going to want to find out more. I know there are going to be some people who are going to want to read it. I mean, let's face it, who doesn't want to read about castles and dragons and such a wonderful world? Where can people find out more?
Absolutely. The best place is sammyrambles.com. That's the main website. There are free sample chapters. There are links to go off to Amazon to buy it or your local bookshop. Sammyrambles.com is a great starting place.
Awesome. So that's sammyrambles.com. Obviously, Sammy is on Facebook as well. We've got the links and so on in the show notes for this episode. As is the case with all the episodes, go to keithblakemorenoble.com/show and look for the one with Jenny Leggett. You'll find more details and so on. You'll find all the links. And just remember, sammyrambles.com. That's where you can find out more about Sammy, get some delicious sample chapters, and buy the books and find out exactly what happens and how Sammy comes to terms with all of his challenges, and how he grows up, and what he does with the enemies as well. Jenny, it's been an absolute pleasure chatting with you. Thank you so much for taking the time out for you and your lovely young baby there, taking the time out to have a chat with us. What's next? I mean, I know you're working on Bumper and Friends. You've got two more coming this year, you said.
That's right. There's two more books coming this year. I'm also working on the animation of Bumper, and that's going to be probably coming around Christmas time. So that will be really exciting to see that come to life. Sorry about this. In the meantime, I'm still pursuing Sammy Randall, the film. So all sorts of things going on in the background. And obviously I've got a 5-month baby.
Bless. Well, good luck with it.
She wants to join in as well.
I know. Quite. Well, good luck with working towards Sammy Ramble to film as well. Hopefully we'll get you back on an episode in the future. You can talk through the journey you took to make that happen, because I'm absolutely sure you will make it happen. Jenny, thank you so much for taking the time to have a chat with us. Remember, folks, if you want to find out more, sammyrambles.com. Hope you've enjoyed this episode. If you have, give us a subscribe, a like, leave a comment, share it far and wide with your friends. We'll catch you in the next episode. And in the meantime, I'm going to leave you with a beautiful quote. This is the motto of the Dragon School in the Sammy Ramble stories. Validus Aureus Draco. You want to know what that means? Get the books and find out.
You've been listening to the Keith Blakemore Noble Radio Show, helping you transform your deepest fears into your greatest strengths. To find out more, please visit keithblakemorenoble.com.